My name is Aaron. I am a music leader here. I'm also the 11th grade Sunday school teacher here. So if you have not been in our class, it's me and John are the teachers, and Joyce Ho is also another co-teacher. I am married. That's my wife, Jess, over there in the back. And we have a newly adopted son. His name is Linus. So if I don't know you yet, I'll get to know you. Before all of that happened, though, in my life, I attended FCBC Walnut since I was a youth. I was also in Unicoi. I was also in GAP. I was actually the first year that GAP started. Before, it used to be segregated with guys and girls, but then when I joined, fittingly, they combined male and girls together. And so, I was there, and this is where I grew up. And I also participated in church sleepovers. I think, like, we had one here in the MAC, too. I'm pretty sure I slept in that corner over there. I think Ed, too, slept, like, right here, right on the line. When they asked me to give this devotional, hold on. One thing that I did like about the sleepovers, and I guess about sleepovers in general, is that you get to talk about, like, a lot of stuff. You get to talk about a lot of different things. You get to talk about your home life. You get to talk about different extracurricular activities. But for me, my favorite subject was always talking about who we liked. That was always the first question. If you ever want to talk to somebody and get to know them a little bit better, you should say, "So, who do you like?" And then from there, conversations can just occur. I don't know if you guys still do that. Do you guys still do that? Do you guys even like each other? See, if you like the easy answer, if you don't want to get asked that, you say, "Oh, I like from somebody from school," because then you don't have to like give them a church answer. But if you're crazy like me, then you'll have somebody that you like from school and from church and from extracurricular stuff. But that's if you're crazy. That's if you're crazy. When they asked me to give the devotional, I said, "Hey, what would be fitting for a sleepover event?" And I thought, okay, I think that in the Bible there was maybe one mention of a sleepover, but I don't think it was really a sleepover. I think it was more kind of like an overnight stay, and the disciples ended up sleeping. You guys know what I'm talking about? Get your phones out. I want you to turn to Mark 14. Mark 14. Mark 14, and then we're going to start at verse 32. Mark 14, and we're going to start at verse 32. And if you don't have your phone, then you can share with somebody. I want you to read the words with your own eyes. I want you to see it. Everybody there? Anybody? Anybody waiting? No? Okay, let's read it together. I'm going to read it out loud. You follow with your eyes. This is Mark 14, verse 32. And the context is that Jesus is nearing his final days. He's praying with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a famous story. You probably know it. Verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." There are five facts that I want you to see from the text. So I'm going to tell you the facts, and I want you to think in your mind, is that true or not? I'm going to try to prove to you that what I'm saying is real, and I'm going to try to back it up from the text. The first fact that I want you to see is that Jesus takes some of his closest friends with him. Notice he doesn't take all the disciples with him to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He only takes who? Peter, James, and John. So put your eyes to the text and look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. What does it say? It says, "And he took with him Peter and James and John." and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. So there are two other instances in the Bible where Jesus takes this group of disciples, okay? This is like a special group that he has, his close friends, right? The first instance was they're raising a dead girl, okay? They're raising Jairus' daughter from death. So that's the first instance. The second instance is they go to a mountain and Jesus is transfigured. So Jesus shows them his full glory. So these disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're his closer disciples. They're the ones that are a little bit more intimate with him. They spend probably the most time with him. They've seen more miracles from him. I think it's safe to say that they're his closer friends, maybe even his best friends, maybe. Okay, so that's the first fact I want you to see. The apostles of Jesus are his inner circle. Second point, the apostles find Jesus is sorrowful. So Jesus is not like without emotion. He's actually sad here. Look at verse 34. Put your eyes to the text. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." So think about this. Jesus knows that he's going to be betrayed. He's with his close friends and he's telling them, "Hey, I'm really sad, guys. Stay here and watch." And what that thing, stay here and watch, he's asking for their help. Look at verse 34 again. He says, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." I don't think Jesus is exaggerating. I don't think he's trying to really trick them. I think he's being real, that he's in a lot of trouble. His soul is troubled. He's feeling despaired and sorrowful. A lot of times, maybe we don't see Jesus this way, but he's real. He experiences emotions, and he's with his close friends, right? But what does he do? What do the disciples do? This is what happens. Point number four. The apostles are found sleeping. The apostles are found sleeping. Okay, so first, he's with his close friends. They're sorrowful. Okay, Jesus is sad. Number three, he's asking for their help. And number four, the apostles are sleeping. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Okay, so Jesus isn't saying, "Hey guys, I'm really sad. Can you just hang out with me here?" He's saying, "Hey, look, I'm really sad, guys. Can you just stand guard, look out, because some bad guys are gonna be coming for me, and can you do me a favor and pray?" Okay, he's saying, stand guard and pray. He's asking for their help, but he finds them sleeping. So the apostles are failing Jesus in this regard. They are supposed to be actively doing something for Jesus, to support him, to be his friend, and they're failing him. Point number five, the apostles are not successful in supporting Jesus. They don't only fail him once, they fail him multiple times. Look at verse 41. Jesus comes to the apostles for a third time, and he says to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Okay, so he comes to them three times. We know that the number three, it does have a little bit of significance in the text. If you think about it, later on in the passage, Peter's going to deny Jesus three times, right? And so we know that that denying of Jesus three times is like total and complete failure. So maybe the author is trying to say, hey, not only does Peter fail me, but the apostles, they all fail me. And earlier in the passage, they all said, "Jesus, we're never going to betray you. We're going to be with you until the end." But you find them sleeping when they're supposed to be on guard. You find them fleeing when everybody comes to arrest Jesus. And then verbally, Peter denies Jesus. Okay, so look at this. I'm trying to paint a picture for you here. Jesus is with his close friends. Jesus is sad. He's asking for their help. He finds them sleeping. And not only once, but multiple times, the apostles are failing Jesus as a friend. Okay, but this devotion is not about the apostles. Okay, this devotion is about Jesus. So there's only one thing that I want you to notice about Jesus. There's only one thing that I want you to see. And this is in verse 41. Read this with me. Jesus comes to them a third time, okay, after he's emotionally drained, emotionally spent in prayer, physically tired. He's probably sad because his friends keep failing him. He's probably a little bit devastated, but he says to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Okay, so look at what Jesus does. He doesn't cast off his friends. He doesn't say, "Hey, forget you guys, man. You guys are deserting me. You guys verbally reject me. I know later you're all going to run away. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He pulls his friends closer to him. He says, hey, hey, get up and come with me. Come with me. Be with me right now. I want you to notice. I want you to see that people are going to come and arrest me, but I want you to be by my side and I'm going to stand here with you. So he doesn't cast them off. Jesus forgives them. Jesus forgives his friends even though they fail him. And not is it just like a verbal, like, yeah, okay, I forgive you. No. It's a decision that he makes. He's going to go. He's allowing himself to be arrested. He's allowing himself to be put on the cross next. And in the back of his mind, he knows, oh man, these guys, they failed me. But you know what? It's okay. I forgive them. I love them. They're my friends. And I'm going to keep them close to me. So there's only a couple applications here, but this is the main point. Okay, don't get me wrong. This is the main point. The main point is that when we fail Jesus, he forgives us. Jesus is our faithful friend. He is. Okay? And so here's the application for you. If you don't know Jesus yet as your friend, okay? Not only as your friend, but as your Savior and Lord, okay, knowing that you have forgiveness in him, then tonight is the night when you need to ask yourself, who is Jesus in my life? There is no better time than right now, because right now is all the time that we have. And so if you don't know Jesus, that's the first application. You need to find out a way to know Jesus. Ask a friend, ask the counselors that are here. Jesus needs to be Lord, Savior, treasure in your life. Second application for you. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from others, okay? Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from others. Maybe you are here tonight, and in the same way that we fail Jesus and he forgives us, we also fail each other. And so part of being a good friend is asking each other for forgiveness, okay? So maybe you're here with each other having a little bit of animosity. Maybe things are a little bit weird. Maybe some walls have been drawn. The Christian life isn't about that. The Christian life is about breaking down the dividing walls of hostility, not only with each other, but with race and with gender, with anything, with sin. Okay, so now is the time tonight to eliminate that. Okay, ask for forgiveness. And then thirdly, here's another application. Maybe you're the one that needs to give forgiveness to other people. Okay, maybe tonight you're here and you're harboring hatred in your heart. Okay, maybe like Jesus, tonight is the night where you need to say, hey, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to forgive other people because that's what Jesus did to me. When I failed Jesus, he forgave me. I'm going to forgive others. Fourth application, you will never find a perfect friend. You're searching your entire life. I know what it's like in high school and junior high. You're looking for people to come alongside you, to be your companions, but you will never find a more faithful friend than Jesus Christ. So my encouragement, my exhortation to you is to give it up, to stop looking for friends that will always fail you. Find your first and foremost friend in Jesus Christ. He'll be more faithful to you than any parent or spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, same gender friend. Jesus is where you need to go. And finally, this is the last application for you. You need to be a friend to others. The point of this sleepover is that you would bond with each other and make friends with each other. So the most direct application I can give you is to have friends tonight. Be friendly with each other, make friends, because that's a picture of Jesus Christ being our friend to us. In the same way when the disciples betrayed him and show love to them, we can do the same to each other. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so maybe, you know, instead of talking about who you like, maybe we can talk about who we love, and that would be Jesus. Bring Jesus into your conversations. Talk about spiritual things with each other. I talk with my friends about girls and everything, but you know, that only gets so far. If you want deep and lasting relationships, you talk about who you love, and you talk about love itself, love himself, Jesus. So that's my challenge and expectation for you tonight. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes of your time. I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Father. I thank you for this brief devotional time, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. If there are some here that are not part of God's family yet, I pray that you would adopt them into your family tonight, that they would come to know Jesus as Lord, Savior, and Treasure. And Lord, for those of us who are in the family of God, I pray that we would be more than brothers and sisters. We would be friends. We can be closer than a brother. Dear God, I pray that you would make us like Jesus, who forgives and who loves and who is
a faithful friend, friend of sinners. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time. Thanks, sir.